Well, good morning, church, and what a lovely platform, that time of worship that we've had. Thank you, worship team. It's very special, and it's a great platform for me to preach from. So I would like to share this morning what God's been showing to me about joy. It's been my one word for the year, and I realise I'm only just scratching the surface, but I do pray that what I'm sharing will really help you and encourage you this morning. So we're going to look at three things, what joy is and a few scriptures that God has helped me to understand, how to get joy and how we can be robbed of our joy. So what is joy? I have three suggestions. The dictionary definition of joy is a great feeling of pleasure and happiness. For example, that exuberant feeling when you've just passed an exam or you've got engaged or you see your newborn child or your grandchild. John Piper, who's a Christian author, gives a Christian definition of joy, and he says, joy is a good feeling in your soul produced by the Holy Spirit. And Nikki quoted a few months ago Henry Nguyen, a Catholic priest, and he said, joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. And I like all three definitions. I think joy is both a feeling and it's a choice. It's something we consciously have to do. It's easy to feel joy when life is going smoothly, but this morning I want to explore how we can have joy when life isn't going quite as we'd planned or expected, when it's hard and when it's difficult. Joy, I believe, comes when we have a deep inner peace and contentment in our life that fills our hearts and our souls despite the circumstances that we're in. When we can say, all is well with my soul, even in the darkest of days. And I believe God wants the conditions of our souls to be good so that we can move forward into all that he has for us. And I draw my inspiration from my own trials, but also from your trials that I've heard, your stories and your testimonies. You may not be calling it joy, but you have found an inner peace and a contentment and a hope despite the circumstances that you're in. That good feeling in your soul that John Piper calls joy, and it's helping you through your trials. Probably all of us here are dealing with some sort of trial or challenge or mountain right now. You might be struggling to understand, how is it possible to feel joy when life is so challenging and hard? And if that's you, I pray this morning that I can help you understand you too can find that supernatural joy despite the circumstance you're in. And I do believe that God is reinforcing this message to us as a church. A few weeks ago, Mel Goodway shared about our response to the wilderness experience, how not to grumble, but to trust God. And she encouraged us to remember that the wilderness that we're in is not the final destination, but part of God's ordained journey for us at this time. And then Pam Scott Cook talked about finding hope in the middle of our suffering. And this morning, I want to suggest we can find joy in the Lord despite our difficult circumstances. Three very independent messages, but very similar. And I do think God wants us to hear it again. So there are some verses in James that I think help shed some light on this. In chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. Just because we are Christians, it doesn't mean that we're going to be immune from problems. And let's be real, life can be very tough and very painful and hard to understand. But as Christians, we do have a way of being able to cope with it that many people don't have. because we have a trust in God. Corrie ten Boom says, when the train goes through the tunnel and the world gets dark, do you jump out? Of course not. You sit still and you trust the engineer or the driver to get you through. As Christians, we can trust God to get us through those dark tunnels. We may not be in control of the circumstances, but we are in control of the way we respond to them. James wants us to consider or to think carefully about the trial that we're in. It's not a command. There's a choice here. And I wonder, will you take time to consider this morning? It's about being able to step back and just pause for a moment and ask God, what's going on? What do you want to show me? To be still and know that I am God, that He is in control. Sometimes we're so immersed in the problems, we actually forget to do this, and we can't see the wood for the trees, as the saying goes. Sometimes we're so busy fighting the fires, we forget to stop and to pray. Every day, we need to call out to God in prayer, to turn our every anxious thought into a prayer. Sometimes we're so busy trying to get things sorted in our own strength, we forget God is there and He's wanting to help us through. And if we can do this, I think it really helps us to find a peace and a contentment and a hope, that deep inner joy. It's about considering and recognising the many small ways God is helping you through the day. Those coincidences are in fact God incidences. It's about taking time to consider God has always been faithful in the past and He will be again. It's about considering His promises that He will make a way through for us and He will not allow us to go through more than we can bear. He will not leave us and He will not abandon us. It's about considering Bible verses that have helped us in the past. They are still living and active for you right now. Look them up, remember them, and ask God to give you fresh verses that will sustain you through this season. It's considering God is testing our faith, not to catch you out or to trip you up, but bring to the surface the things that need to change in our lives. It could be any number of things, but such as unbelief and doubt, pride, anger, or self-pity. Once we recognise these things, we can then ask God to help us deal with them. It's considering this season as a training ground to shape us for the future plans that God has for us. It's about choosing to raise a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. And hallelujah actually means God to be praised. It's an expression of joy. And we've sung it this morning. It's bringing that sacrifice of praise, even when we feel hard-pressed and hard done by, and it's the last thing we do. That's why it's a sacrifice. But when we do, it releases hope and joy. I know it's not easy, and it may not be a natural response, but as Christians, we should and we can do this. A few years ago, when my mum and dad were both seriously ill at the same time, and we had to place my dad into a care home, I felt stretched to the absolute limit, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And if I'm honest, I was struggling to find God in the situation. It all seemed so unfair and so hard. I struggled to think God was a good Heavenly Father when such horrible things were happening to my mum and dad. They were a godly couple who had served God faithfully for so many years. But after a time of wrestling with God in prayer, I chose to believe and I chose to declare that He was a good Heavenly Father and that I would trust Him for whatever lay ahead. I knew the promise that God loved me and my parents and wanted the best for them. And this gave me an inner strength and a hope to keep going. Psalm 31, verse 7 was very precious, and it said, "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and you knew the anguish in my soul." Looking back now, I know my faith and trust in God was tested. I know God never let me down, and he made a way through for me. And I did find an inner peace and a joy which gave me strength despite all that was happening. And I was stronger as a Christian for it. Sometimes God doesn't change the circumstances, but he is changing us to become more like him. And I read this week, coal under great pressure becomes a diamond. It's so true, isn't it? We grow the most spiritually when we go through the toughest of times, because our faith is being tested and perfected. During these times, we have to flex our faith and our trust muscles, and muscles have to be worked to maintain and gain strength and grow. So let's look how we persevere through our trials. Romans 12, verse 12 is a lovely verse, and it's really helped me. It says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." So, for example, I'm praying for our prodigals to return to the Lord. One of my daughters is a prodigal, and I've been praying for years for this to happen. I've gone through many different emotions, but I can truly say I'm now in a place where I'm joyful in my hope. I can visualise them returning to God. It's not just wishful thinking, but it's seeing something in the spiritual realm that gives me hope and causes me to feel joyful, yet still experiencing the disappointment and frustration that it's not happened yet. And yes, I still feel deeply saddened when watching them make life choices that are not in line with God's ways. But I must be patient and remember, God is still writing their story. He's still writing their testimony. And he loves them even more than I do. And I keep faithfully praying by myself and with others. And when praying, I choose to be thankful that God has never left them and he's keeping them hemmed in. And this gives me hope and causes me to be patient, expectant and joyful that one day, in God's timing, it will happen. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I think if we can choose to thank God for all he has done in our lives so far and the lives of our family and friends, this will cause our heart to rejoice, our souls to feel good, and that gives us a faith to believe, a desire and a strength to persevere, and a confidence in God that he will help us through the trial, and a joy in our heart. So how do we persevere? By being joyful in our hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So how do we get this joy? I want to look at three ways that we can tap into this by using the acronym J-O-Y, joy. Loving Jesus, loving others, and loving yourself. When we were discussing this at daytime group, this acronym was mentioned, and then I found that Joyce Meyer had also recently written three little books about this. And so some of what I'm sharing comes from her teaching. So firstly, loving Jesus. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Joy comes from the God of hope and the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We all need a relationship with God. We all have a God-shaped hole in our lives that need to be filled. And if you don't know this God of hope, let me tell you that you can. Pastor Richard or myself or the person you came with today would love to explain how this can happen, please do come and speak to us at the end of the meeting. For most of us here, though, I am assuming that we do have a personal relationship with God. Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God, if we are Christians, is God ruling in our hearts right here and now. And so we can also experience that peace and joy that the Holy Spirit gives right here, right now. Joy is already present in us. We just need to tap into it by walking closely with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's like a present. It must be unwrapped and be used to be of value. So joy is available to us, even in the darkest of days, when we have a personal relationship with God and experience the gift of the Holy Spirit working in us. When we put Jesus first in our lives. When we are thankful for all he has done and is doing. And when we get into his presence and we linger there. Peace and joy is not the absence of trouble in our lives, but comes when the presence of God is in our lives. In a daily reading from the one Bible in a year, 1st of August, I read, "We look at our phones on average 150 times a day, which is about once every 6 minutes. Now, I'm sure that I don't do it that often, but I wonder how good it would be for our hearts and our souls if we remembered to look to God, to pray and to acknowledge his presence in our lives even 10 or 15 times a day. What a difference that would make to the joy that we felt in our lives. If it were 150 times a day, I think we would be absolutely overflowing with joy and spontaneously breaking out into some kind of praise and worship because we couldn't contain ourselves. Giving praise to our Heavenly Father for all he has done for us helps us to feel joy. It's good to do this. It's good to get into the habit of thanking God, at least at the end of the day, to recognise where God has been with you and helped you. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You fill me with joy in your presence." Let's choose to enjoy God's presence with us each and every day and acknowledge him and thank him for all that he has done. Loving others. John 15, verse 11 says that Jesus wants our joy to be complete. But in verse 12, it tells us how to get complete joy by loving others in the way God has loved you. And that's unconditionally. We are commanded to love each other, our families, our spiritual families, but also those outside the church, our work colleagues, our neighbours and our friends. It's really easy to love nice people, isn't it? But there's always going to be people in our lives that are harder to like. Those that annoy you or irritate you or have hurt you. Choose to make up your mind to love them too. Choose to love them despite their irritating ways. And forgive those who have hurt you. And perhaps say sorry to those who've offended you. It's not easy, but it can be done with God's help. I've been prompted recently by the Holy Spirit to make efforts to restore a broken friendship. It was not easy, and after 8 years, I had to say sorry for the part that I took in the situation. And I'm now slowly rebuilding that friendship. It's challenging to do so, but you know, it gives me a joy, that good feeling in the soul, because I know this relationship is something God wants to be repaired. Loving others gets your mind off yourself, off your problems and worries, and onto what others, and onto what you can do for others. And that brings joy. It releases joy. Jesus is a great example of this because he always had time for others. It often says in the Bible that he stopped to help someone. And Jesus felt joy because he had a perfect understanding of God and he was prepared to do all that God asked of him, even dying on the cross. and he did what he saw his father doing. I have learned I need to slow down a bit, to be willing to stop what my agenda is and allow myself to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit. If we're in a hurry all the time, we can miss those promptings. It's also about taking time to invest in people's lives, meeting them where they're at. Ask God who those people are. Ask him where he's already moving in those hearts and begin a friendship. This is taking church outside the four walls. For the new season that I'm in, my mission field is my neighbours, so it's about investing time in them. Instead of just a wave and a quick hello, I always try to stop and speak to them now, even if I'm in a hurry. I never know where that conversation may lead. It's only a small step, but I'm slowly building relationship with them. I'm intentionally inviting them round for coffee. I have no testimony yet they've become Christians, but I've started friendships. I'm meeting them where they're at, helping them and being kind to them where I can. It's been helping my elderly neighbour finish off a gardening task that he was struggling with, welcoming a new family to the avenue with a warm smile and a freshly baked cake, cooking a meal for a family as their extension is being built, lending our camping fridge to a couple whose fridge had broken and there was a delay in the new one arriving, comforting a lady recently bereaved with a cup of tea and a box of tissues. These small acts of kindness can make huge differences in people's lives. They can mean such a lot. Don't ever believe Satan's lies that what you do is insignificant. I truly feel if you give the little you have, let God multiply it, and he can even do a miracle through it. God has given each of us gifts and talents, and yours are different to mine. But if I choose to find ways to bless others with the gift that I have, then I find great pleasure and great joy in using that gift. Acts 20:35 says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Because when we get, we only get the gift. But when we give, we receive the joy of giving. And nothing releases supernatural joy in our lives more than being a blessing to others and knowing that God has used you. Love yourself. I also think to have a deep inner joy, you must love yourself. You must like yourself. If you don't, you'll be robbed of joy. And unfortunately, many people do feel bad about themselves. They may carry guilt and shame. They may lack confidence and self-esteem. And this steals our joy. But Jesus can free us from those negative feelings. When we see ourselves as God sees us, we can experience a deep inner peace and joy. God sees us as unconditionally loved, accepted, precious, honoured, forgiven and restored. At New Wine this year, the Holy Spirit gently showed me an area of shame that I had in my own life that I had suppressed. I was prayed for and released from it. And yes, there were tears and it did hurt. But afterwards, I felt a deep inner peace and joy that all was well with my soul. I had been restored. So let's not focus on our weaknesses. When we make a mistake or get something wrong, don't spend ages being miserable about it. Ask God to forgive you and move on. John 16:24 says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. God also wants us to enjoy life to the full. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, put your hope in God, who richly provides for us with everything for our enjoyment. He has given us so much. His beautiful creation, precious relationships, delicious foods and drinks, music and the arts, and our own gifts and talents. Don't feel guilty about enjoying these things. I'm sure God wants us to appreciate these things because he's made them. And he's given them to us so that we can enjoy them. So lastly, we'll look at what robs us of joy. Psalm 52, verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." It implies we can lose our joy. And we do when we start doubting God and our salvation. It robs us of joy. When we stop trusting God and start trusting in our own efforts, we lose our joy. When we allow the worries of life to overwhelm us, our joy is lost. Ungodly anger robs us of joy, and it allows bitterness and resentment to get a hold and eat away at our hearts. Comparing yourself to others will take joy from you. Remember, God has made you with a unique set of gifts and talents. Don't try to be someone else. Be yourself and love yourself. Satan knows that if he can rob us of joy, he can weaken us. So don't let him do that. When we are weak, we become vulnerable and we start doubting, and that's just where Satan wants us. Don't let Satan distract you from the very fact that every day God has given us a day to rejoice in. Psalm 118, 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So the good news is our joy can be restored. Choose to fix your eyes on Jesus and to stay close to him. Choose to love Jesus, love others and love yourself. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." It's an ongoing process. Remember that quote, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." And if you have lost your joy, ask God to restore it to you. Consider and choose to find God in the place where you are at today. He's there. He's never left you. He's never abandoned you. And in fact, if you ask him to, he will take you by the right hand and will walk you through the trial. So, in summary, what is joy? Joy is a feeling and a choice. It's a good feeling in our souls. And it's important for our souls to be in good condition so that we can move forward into all that God has planned for us. Take time to choose and consider how God is working in and through your trial at the moment. He is testing your faith to produce perseverance so that you will grow and mature and become more like him. How do we get this joy? Well, joy comes when we love Jesus, when we choose to put him first in our lives, when we choose to keep our eyes fixed on him, when we choose to spend time in his presence, when we choose to thank him and praise him and trust him despite the circumstances. Joy comes when we know we are loved by God and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Joy comes when we love others, because loving others gets your mind off yourself, your problems and your worries, and onto what you can do for others, and that releases joy. Joy comes when we invest time in other people as God leads us. And joy comes when we love ourselves, when we believe God's promises. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, "Do not be worried. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength." Whatever you're going through this morning, try not to stay focused on those problems. It doesn't help. In fact, it robs you of joy. Instead, consider and choose to focus on the Lord, to trust God. The word strength in this verse actually means fortress and protection. God is our place of refuge, our safe place to run to when we're struggling. And he's watching over and protecting us through the trials we face. And as we consider this, it brings us to that place of peace and hope and contentment, or joy, that good feeling in the soul. So I pray, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And I will finish with a quote from Joyce Meyer. She says, "Joy makes you feel strong when you feel like giving up. Joy gives peace when your world is filled with chaos. Joy gives you hope. Joy helps you see the humour in your imperfections. And joy allows you to smile, even in your darkest of days.